The first, actually, I've read the first sentence, but I'll read it again. The first sentence, which is one paragraph, says, there has recently been an exchange on email with people in the office group about Office and HTML. Second paragraph says, in one piece of mail, people were suggesting that Office had to work equally well with all browsers and that we shouldn't force Office users to use our browser. This is wrong, and I wanted to correct this. Third paragraph says, another suggestion in this mail was that we can't make our own unilateral extensions to HTML. I was going to say this was wrong and correct this also. Now, have I read correctly the first three paragraphs of this memo, Mr. Gates?
Yes.
And is it your testimony that when you said that the email suggesting that Office had to work equally well with all browsers and that Microsoft shouldn't force Office users to use Microsoft's browser was wrong, that all you were talking about there was Trident? Is that your testimony?
I'm not sure what you mean, all I was talking about. This email is about the Office and HTML.
Yes.
There's a new extension to HTML being created in Trident. There was a question of whether Office could take advantage of it, which meant that it would take advantage of those new browsers in a better way than it would take advantage of our old browsers or other people's browsers without those extensions. I was suggesting here, and it's totally a mischaracterization to suggest that that third paragraph isn't totally in line with it, that we should take advantage of those Trident HTML extensions, and therefore Office documents would look better, at least for those users.
And is it your testimony? And all I'm trying to do is clarify your testimony, Mr. Gates, because once the testimony is done, the trier of fact can decide what credibility, if any, to give it. All I'm trying to do is identify it. And you have said that the extensions to HTML relate to Trident, correct?
Yes.
Now, what I'm trying to find out is whether these extensions to HTML that relate to Trident is also the only point of your statement that you should force Office users to use your browser.
That's a sentence fragment here. What people were saying was, if we took unique advantage of Trident, wouldn't people feel like they needed to upgrade to Trident? And I said, hey, if that's the only way they can see the advanced document capability, then fine.
Well, Mr. Gates, I mean, that's not what this email says. I mean, the
world's
about...
We certainly know what the email says.
Yeah, I mean, yes, exactly. I mean, and I don't mean to be disrespectful here, but aren't you doing what we talked about before here, just trying to substitute different words for the words that you actually wrote that you think will sound better in the context of this litigation?
I've explained to you what this email is about. You don't seem to like the facts.
Well, Mr. Gates, my question, and if the answer is yes or no, or I don't understand your question, you can give me that testimony. But is the explanation that you're giving me now of this document an explanation where you're trying to use words differently now because of the litigation than you used them back in 1997?
No.
Not at all, sir?
No.
Do you feel more uncomfortable admitting in a deposition in this case that you were trying to force Office users to use your browser than you did back in January of 1997?
You're mischaracterizing the email.
Well, let me ask you a question independent of the email. Do you feel more uncomfortable with the characterization that Microsoft is forcing Office users to use Microsoft's browser today than you did back in January 1997?
I've never been comfortable with lawyers mischaracterizing the truth.
Well, Mr. Gates, can I have my question answered?
I answered it.
Would you read the question back, please?
Do you feel more uncomfortable with the characterization that Microsoft is forcing Office users to use Microsoft's browser today than you did back in January 1997?
Could I have an answer to that question, sir?
My view of lawyers mischaracterizing something has not changed.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Gates, I'm not talking about your view of lawyers mischaracterizing things. I'm talking about your view of the use of language. You've got a document in here in which you talk about forcing Office users to use our browser. You say, quote, in one piece of mail, people were suggesting that Office had to work equally well with all browsers and that we shouldn't force Office users to use our browser. And you go on to say, the top executives of your company, this is wrong. Now, my simple question is whether you're more concerned about the use of those words today than you were back in January of 1997. Whether this litigation is influencing the care and precision, if you want to put it your way, with which you are determined to use words.
I'm not sure what I'm comparing to what.
Okay, let me try to be clear. In January of 1997, you wrote this email.
In total.
And at the time you wrote this email, you didn't have any expectation that it was going to show up in this litigation, did you?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
What I mean is you thought this was a private email. You thought you were writing to your executives, and you didn't think anybody outside the company was going to review this and do what I'm doing now, which is ask you questions about it, right?
Well, I think the general notion that any email I write might be reviewed at some point is one that I've understood certainly since 1990.
All right, sir. So it is your testimony that taking this email in its whole entirety, that you today are entirely comfortable that the memo, the email, in its entirety, is a fair and accurate statement of your views. Is that correct?
If somebody takes the trouble to understand it, yes.
Right. That is, if somebody reads this document all the way through, takes the trouble to figure out what is here, you say, that's a fair and accurate statement of my views. Correct?
Views on what?
Views on the things that you're talking about in the memo. Let me try to approach it a different way. Sometimes when people write things, after the fact they say, I wish I hadn't written it that way. That just isn't accurate. Or I overstated it, or I got it wrong. Are you saying that about this document?
I guess I can say that if I realized how you might misinterpret the thing, I would have put a little footnote in here for you to help make sure you didn't misinterpret it.
Mm-hmm. And that's because you think that what I'm doing, as you've said before, is mischaracterizing what's here, correct?
Your several of your questions, I believe, have mischaracterized it.
Now suppose, Mr. Gates, that you have to worry not about what I think about this memo, which is really irrelevant, but only about what the trier of fact thinks about this memo. Assume that a neutral trier of fact is going to look at this memo in a fair and balanced way. Would you say to that neutral trier of fact, I really shouldn't have written this. This really doesn't reflect my views. I made a mistake. Or would you say, if you read the whole thing and read it fairly, that's what I believe.
If they understood what it was about, I wouldn't feel any need to amend or change it.
Change the memo. Okay, sir. That's, on that basis, I think we can leave it to the trier of fact to determine what it means. Because I think the one thing that we both, you believe this memo is clear, don't you?
I don't know what you mean by that.
You made it clear
that somebody can misinterpret this memo. Whether that's being done maliciously or not, I don't know. So now I understand that somebody who doesn't understand the subject matter of the memo can misinterpret it. In particular, you can misinterpret what's meant there.
Well, you've told us that extensions to HTML that you were referring to here were the Trident extensions, haven't you, sir? That's what you've said.
And general principles about HTML extensions, yes.
All right. Let me ask you to look next at Government Exhibit 395. This purports to be a memo or message from you, dated February 19, 1997. To Mr. Alchin, with copies to Mr. Moritz, among others. Did you send this message on or about February 19, 1997?
I don't remember sending the message.
The second message here in this exhibit is a message from Mr. Alchin to you dated February 18, 1997 at 5:17 p.m. with a copy to Mr. Moritz. Do you see that?
Yes.
And am I correct that when you sent your message, you enclosed this earlier message from Mr. Alchin with your message?
That's right. The default reply command does the enclosure.
Let me ask you to look at the second page, the first full paragraph, in which Mr. Alchin writes to you, I am convinced the path we're on is the wrong one. We're playing into Netscape's strengths and against our own. I hear lots of words about how the software will, of course, be, quote, better, close quote, on Windows because we have more people working on Windows, but I can't sell abstract statements like this. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
He then goes on in the very next sentence to say, quote, we focus attention on the browser battle, where we have little market share, instead of focusing the battle at integrating things into Windows, where we have market share and a great distribution channel. Did Mr. Alchin write this to you on February 18th, 1997?
I'm not sure.
Did Mr. Alchin communicate that to you at some point, whether in February 1997 or some other time?
I know Jim was a big advocate of increasing the integration features to make them even stronger.
I have my question right back, please.
did Mr. Alton communicate that to you at some point, whether in February 1997 or some other time?
May I have an answer to that question, sir?
That's what I answered.
I'm not asking you what Mr. Alton was a big advocate of. I'm asking whether he communicated this to you at some point.
Those specific words?
Or what you understand to be the substance of those words.
Yeah, and looking at the substance of those words, I can say that the one part of that I do remember him communicating is that he was a big advocate of strengthening even further the integration benefits of the browser technology in Windows.
Well, sir, when he talks about integrating the browser technology into Windows, which he does in the very next few sentences, what he says is, when IE4 first was discussed, we were, quote, integrating the browser into Windows, close quote. That is what we told everyone. That was a strong message for Windows. That message is now gone, since IE4 is going onto all platforms. It won't be as, quote, integrated, close quote, open parentheses, whatever they means technically, close parentheses. But all the words about WebPC and the like convinced me we are determined to put a gun to our head and pull the trigger. Now, did he tell you that, Mr. Gates, in or about February of 1997?
I don't remember him using those words. They're colorful enough. Sometimes I might remember that, but I don't remember that.
All right, sir. Let me ask you to look at a document that has been marked as Government Exhibit 396. And this purports to be some questions and answers on the use and misuse of technology by Bill Gates. Dated October 24, 1995. Copyrighted 1992 to 1995 by the Microsoft Corporation. Do you recall preparing these questions and answers, sir?
Yeah, I know it was in a meeting where this was worked on.
And did the statements set forth here reflect your views at the time?
I don't remember specifically these sentences, but I have no reason to doubt this is what was discussed and put into the column.
And you understood that when this was prepared, and as you put it, put into the column, that it was going to be published. Did you not, sir?
Yeah, the column is published.
Where is the column published?
A number of newspapers.
Now, when you refer here on the second page, the fourth line, to winning for Microsoft a larger share of the market for internet browsers. Do you see that?
No.
It's on the second page.
Oh, you're
fourth
on the second
line.
Page. Let me just read this. Okay, go ahead.
When you refer in here to winning from Microsoft a larger share of the market for internet browsers? And do you see where you say that?
Yeah, it's part of a sentence here.
What did you mean by the market for internet browsers, sir?
I assume I meant usage share of browsers on the World Wide Web.
You then go on in parentheses to say, quote, an internet browser is software that lets an individual roam the worlds of information available on the internet. Microsoft's browser is called the Internet Explorer, close quote. Do you see that?
Close paren, yeah.
Close paren and then close quote, since I'm quoting it. Did you believe that was an accurate statement at the time that you made it and published it?
I'm trying to give an explanation to the broad audience that the column was aimed at. Yes, I thought it was a good way of describing it to that audience.
Let me ask you to look at a document that has been previously marked as Government Exhibit 398. The first message here is one from Brad Silverberg to you and others, including Mr. Moritz and Mr. Alchin, dated October 3, 1994, at 6:42 p.m. Do you see that?
Say again?
The first message here is a message to you and others, including Mr. Alchin and Mr. Moritz, from Mr. Silverberg, dated October 3, 1994, at 6:42 p.m., correct?
It appears to be.
And he references Marvel and Capone. Do you see that?
Yes.
Marvel is a code word for what became the MSN, is that correct?
Not the way he uses it here.
Oh. What does Marvel refer to here?
Blackbird.
So here Marvel refers to Blackbird. And what does Capone refer to?
I think an email client. That was a feature of Windows.
And it also refers to Chicago.
The next sentence.
Yes. The next sentence of Mr. Silverberg's message to you. What is Chicago, as you understand it here?
It's the name for the project that resulted eventually in the product, Windows 95.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Silverberg writes you and Mr. Moritz and others that there is no one in the world outside of Microsoft who will buy the argument that Marvel and Capone are, quote, part of Chicago, close quote.
No. That's
not so?
No.
Well, let me see. He says, quote, I will jump in, dash. Yes, we have to take them out of Marvel and Capone, too. There is no one in the world outside of Microsoft who will buy the argument that they are, quote, part of Chicago, close quote, so get the interfaces while others don't. This is an impossible sale, close quote. As you read this, and do you recall receiving this?
No.
Did you ever discuss it with Mr. Silverberg?
I'm not sure.
Did you ever discuss with Mr. Silverberg or anyone else what he meant by part of Chicago?
I'm not sure. It's clear, it's very clear that they're not referring to what you asked about.
All right, sir. Let me ask you about the third message down. This is a message from you, dated October 3, 1994 at 5:18 p.m. Do you see that?
Yes.
You write in the first line, it's time for a decision on shell browser.
Little I shell browser.
And in the third sentence, you say, it's hard to know how much actual benefit little I shell browser integration would bring.
Third paragraph?
Third paragraph of your message.
Not sentence.
Third paragraph of your message.
Right.
The first sentence.
Right.
Quote, it's hard to know how much actual market benefit little I shell browser integration would bring.
Right.
You see that?
I see it.
Do you recall writing that in or about October 1994?
I don't recall the specific message. I recall that the general issue about the little I shell browser APIs.
The next paragraph, the first line, you talk about how Microsoft is in, quote, a real struggle versus notes. Do you see that?
Yes.
What do you mean by notes when you say that Microsoft is in a real struggle against notes?
I mean notes.
Okay, can you explain what notes is?
It's a product called Notes.
Produced by whom, sir?
You could say Lotus or IBM, or there's actually the company who wrote it, I forget their name.
But in any event, not Microsoft. Correct, sir?
That's right, not Microsoft.
And is it true that Microsoft, in or about October of 1994, was in a real struggle against notes?
I think some people would say yes and some people would say no.
You said yes, though, right?
Apparently, in an email in 1994, I said we are in a real struggle versus notes. Mm-hmm.
And in the next paragraph, now the fifth paragraph of your message, you say, quote, I have decided that we should not publish these extensions. We should wait until we have a way to do a high level of integration that will be harder for likes of Notes WordPerfect to achieve and which will give Office a real advantage. Do you see that?
Yes.
Did that reflect your views in October of 1994?
That sentence taken out of context or the
that
whole email?
That sentence in the context of this email.
I don't think you... Oh, in the context of the email? I have no reason to think that it didn't.
What I'm asking, again, is fairly read in its entirety. Does this message from you reflect your views at the time that you wrote it?
If you're asking about the whole message, I have no reason to think I didn't write those messages or that it didn't reflect my thinking at the time.
Okay.
I haven't actually read the whole message, but I'll still say that.
Let me ask you to look at a document marked as Government Exhibit 399. This purports to be a message from you to Brad Silverberg with a copy to Paul Moritz and others, date of January 8, 1996. Did you send this message, sir?
I don't remember it specifically. Do you want me to read it?
If you need to answer my questions, this is on a subject of Steve Case of American Online, is that correct?
Yes.
In the second paragraph, you write that Mr. Case said that he viewed Microsoft as technically behind Netscape, but credible enough to do a very good job. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Did Mr. Case tell you that?
With respect to IE2, the product we were shipping, but later they had a chance to see the work we were doing and changed that view.
Is there a document that you're aware of which reflects their changed view?
Almost certainly.
Have you seen that document in the last 6 months?
No.
Do you know who that document was from?
Oh, I think there were technical discussions subsequent to this where AOL came away very impressed with the componentization work we were doing and how it was superior technically to what they'd seen anyplace else.
My question right now is not what AOL's view was. You told me what you thought AOL's view was, and I asked you whether there was a document that reflected that they'd changed their position.
Yeah, so I should have gone on to say, after they came out and saw that technology, it's likely that somebody either in email recorded their impressions at that time.
Could you recall actually seeing such a document, sir, ever?
I recall being told that they were impressed that we had the best technology.
Do you recall ever seeing a document that reflected that?
I'm not sure if it was verbal or email, but I remember being told that after they'd come out and seen the componentization technology we were working on as part of IE3, they viewed it as the best technology.
And when you say verbal there, you mean oral, not written down in email or written memo form. Is that correct?
Yes.
Let me ask you to look at a document previously marked as Government Exhibit 400. The second item here is a message from you to Steve Ballmer, Paul Moritz, Jim Alchin, Christine Turner on the subject of IBM, dated October 30, 1997. Is that correct?
It appears to be.
Did you send this message, sir?
Let me look at it. I don't remember specifically, but this kind of topic. Was being discussed, so I have no reason to doubt. This is a piece of email I wrote.
This relates to a conversation you had with Gary Stemack, is that correct?
Not strictly.
Does it relate in part to that?
Yes.
Did Mr. Stemack tell you that he was thinking about taking a job with IBM?
I think he did.
And did he tell you that one of his concerns was whether IBM's relationship with Microsoft would be a problem?
I see that in the email. I don't remember it specifically.
Do you remember people at IBM being concerned about IBM's relationship with Microsoft being a problem?
No.
Do you remember Mr. Stimac telling you that he was concerned about whether IBM's relationship with Microsoft would be a problem?
As either, I said, I see it in the email.
Or but any other time.
No, I don't remember that.
In response to that, you say that you told him that the Java religion coming out of the software group is a big problem. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell Mr. Stimac that?
I don't remember telling him that.
Now, when you talk about the Java religion coming out of the software group, you're talking about IBM's software group, correct, sir?
I'm not sure.
Well, this sentence immediately follows Mr. Stimac purporting to be concerned about whether IBM's relationship with Microsoft would be a problem, and immediately precedes a sentence in which you say that you told him that IBM refused to big anything related to back office.
Yeah, that doesn't relate to the IBM software group.
But it relates to IBM, correct, sir?
Yes.
This whole paragraph relates to IBM, correct, sir?
Primarily.
So, when you say that you told Mr. Stimac that the Java religion coming out of the software group is a big problem, do you really have any doubt that you were talking about IBM's software group?
Well, there was a lot of joint work between IBM people and Sun's people and other companies, and so it's very hard to draw a line between the IBM software groups and other people's software groups.
Does that mean that it is your testimony here under oath that when you referred to the software group in this sentence, you don't know whether you were talking about the IBM software group?
I'm certainly talking about software groups that IBM is at least a part of.
You go on to say that they continue to use their PCs to distribute things against us. Is the they that you're referring to there IBM?
I think so.
And is the us there Microsoft?
I think so.
And you then, in the next sentence, say that you told Mr. Stimac that they are dabbing in NCs in a way we don't like. Is the they there again IBM?
Apparently. I don't know what dabbing is.
I was going to ask you that next. The next paragraph, you say, quote, overall, we will never have the same relationship with IBM that we have with Compaq, Dell, and even HP because of their software ambitions. I could deal with this just fine if they weren't such rabid Java backers. Now, when you refer in that sentence to they, as in, I could deal with this just fine if they weren't such rabid Java backers, you're again talking about IBM, correct?
Parts of IBM. It's important to distinguish different groups in IBM.
And the different groups in IBM would include, perhaps among others, the software group is one and the PC group is another, correct?
That's right.
At the end of that, you say that you are willing to take some risk in improving the relationship, and you think that steps ought to be taken to approach them. And you end by saying, quote, we should position it as let's do some things that are good for both of us, but which requires some of the rhetoric to be lowered on both sides On their side, I mean Java and NC. And their side, you're talking about IBM side?
I think so.
And what you're saying is that you want a message conveyed to IBM that in order to improve the relationship, you want some of their rhetoric lowered on Java and NC.
No.
No? Did you want IBM to lower their rhetoric on Java?
I actually explained in this message that I thought the rhetoric was actually hurting IBM itself, independent of Microsoft.
Did you think it was hurting Microsoft?
I wasn't sure. In terms of specifics, I wasn't sure.
When you say that you could deal with IBM's relationship just fine if IBM wasn't such rabid Java backers, weren't you saying that you thought that IBM's rabid backing of Java was bad for Microsoft?
I know at this time we thought some of the claims around Java were just plain false and weren't doing customers any favors by leading them down a belief that certain things were solved that were not solved.
My question, Mr. Gates, is in October of 1997, did you believe that what you refer to here as IBM's rabid backing of Java was something that was hurting Microsoft?
I can't point to any particular hurting that it was doing. We didn't think it was accurate in terms of what technically could be achieved with Java.
Let me put the question this way. In or about October of 1997, did you want to stop IBM from being what you refer to here as a rabid Java backer?
We thought some of the rabidness was hurting IBM as well as the industry as a whole.
Did you believe it was hurting Microsoft? Or were you just doing this as sort of a public-spirited company to try to help IBM from hurting itself?
I can't point to any particular damage, but we certainly would have preferred if the more extreme statements we didn't think were true, if they weren't pushing those forward.
Mr. Gates, let me put it this way. In October of 1997, were you trying to get IBM to reduce its public support for Java?
I say in here that under some circumstance the rhetoric should be lowered on both sides, and that I think that's a that makes sense in certain circumstances.
I don't think you actually say in certain circumstances, do you, sir? You may have meant that. I'm not saying you didn't mean it. I'm just saying those words don't appear here, do they?
No, it's all about I am willing to take some risk in improving the relationship and think you should approach them on steps for improvement. It's in that vein that I talk about rhetoric being lowered on both sides.
And then you go on to say that on IBM's side, you mean they lower the rhetoric on Java and NC, correct?
The rhetoric.
And by rhetoric, you were talking about public rhetoric, were you not?
Definitely public rhetoric.
And is it fair to say that in October of 1997, you were trying to get IBM to reduce its public rhetoric in support of Java?
I don't know what you mean, trying. I talk about a circumstance in which both sides would lower their rhetoric.
You were offering to lower your rhetoric if they'd lowered their rhetoric. Is that fair? Isn't that what you say right here?
In the context, this is about improving the overall relationship, which is not focused on the rhetoric. It says that in the context of that improved relationship, I think that both of us should lower our rhetoric.
Well, indeed, you say that the improved relationship will, quote, require some of the rhetoric to be lowered on both sides.
That's a statement about human feelings, that if our rhetoric is so high, it'll be hard for them to do their side of improving the relationship and vice versa.
Well, you then go on to say on their side, on IBM's side, you mean Java and NC. Right, sir?
So that's part of the rhetoric I'm referring to.
Part of their rhetoric?
Yes.
That you wanted them to lower. Isn't that true?
No.
Okay. Let me ask you to look at Exhibit 401. This is a message from you to Mr. Ballmer and Mr. Chase with a copy to Mr. Britz, and some other people were also given copies. Dated August 15, 1997 at 4:07 p.m. on the subject of IBM and Netscape, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you type in here, importance, colon, high.
No.
No?
No, I didn't type that.
Who typed in high?
A computer.
A computer. Why did the computer type in high?
It's an attribute of the email.
Uh-huh. And who set the attribute of the email?
Usually the sender sets
who's,
that attribute.
Who's the sender here, Mr. Gates?
In this case, it appears I'm the sender.
Yes. And so you're the one who set the high designation of importance. Right, sir?
It appears I did that. I don't remember doing that specifically.
Right. Did you send this... message on or about August 15, 1997?
I don't remember doing so.
Now, you say that you had a meeting with Jeff Pappas. Is that correct?
I did have a meeting with Jeff Pappas, yes.
And the third paragraph from the bottom, you write, quote, he doesn't want anything attributed to me or he will get in trouble. But he says we can just refer to all the rumors on the web about what kind of deal is being done between Netscape and IBM, close quote. Do you see that?
I do.
At this point, that is in or about August of 1997, were you aware, prior to your conversation with Mr. Pappas, that there was a prospect of a deal between Netscape and IBM?
There had been rumors of that. So, yes. In fact, there had been deals. There was rumors of a new deal.
Let me ask you to look next at a document marked as Exhibit 402. The second message on this exhibit is a message from you to Mr. Ballmer and Mr. Moritz, dated August 4, 1997, at 5:17 p.m., correct?
It appears to be, yes.
Did you send this, Mr. Gates?
I don't remember sending it, but I have no reason to think that I didn't.
Okay. Let me ask you to look at Exhibit 403. This is a message dated February 16, 1998, from Laura Jennings to you and a number of other people, including Mr. Alchin, Mr. Balmer, and Mr. Moritz. You see that?
Yes.
Did you receive this email in or about February of 1998, sir?
I don't remember receiving it, but I have no reason to think that I didn't.
Let me take you down to the next last paragraph on the first page. The first sentence says, quote, one potential concern, colon, Brad mentioned to me late Friday that there may be new concerns about our plan to make START a requirement for being in the IE referral server, or at least there may be timing issues related to your appearance at Senator Hatch's hearings, close quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
Do you recall a discussion of this in or about February of 1998?
Not with Laura, but on the general subject, yes.
Did Microsoft, in fact, make START, quote, a requirement for being in the IE referral server, close quote?
No, I don't think we did.
Why not?
I think the PR group thought it would be controversial, and we didn't see the benefit as being worth having that controversy.
Let me ask you to look at a document that has been marked as Exhibit 404. The first message here is a message to you and Mr. Balmer with copies to other people, dated March 23, 1994 at 9:13 a.m. on the subject of IBM Helps Lotus. Did you receive this message in or about March of 1994, sir?
I don't know.
The message begins by describing how IBM is helping in the selling of notes. Do you see that?
Yes.
And at the end, Mr. Kempen, who's the author of this, says, quote, I am unsure if we need to see this as an organizational issue or an OEM issue. Do you know what he means by that?
What's he talking about?
Do you know what he's talking about?
No.
Okay. He then says, quote, I am willing to do whatever it takes to kick them out, but strongly believe we need a WW hit team to attack IBM as a large account, whereby the OEM relationship should be used to apply some pressure." Close quote. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
You have to say yes for the record.
I see it.
Do you know what Mr. Kempen means when he writes to you about a WW hit team?
He means a salesperson.
If he means a salesperson, why doesn't he say salesperson, sir?
It clearly means salesperson.
Are salespeople within Microsoft commonly referred to as WW hit teams?
If they're worldwide, and if they're trying to sell to somebody as a large account, you bet.
And when your salespeople go out to sell large accounts, are they commonly referred to as needing a, quote, WW hit team to attack IBM as a large account, whereby the OEM relationship should be used to apply some pressure?
No.
Did you say no?
I said no.
Do you remember Mr. Kempen telling you in March of 1994 that he was proposing that the OEM relationship with IBM should be used to apply some pressure to stop IBM from promoting the sale of notes?
No.
Do you recall anyone ever telling you that, sir?
No.
Did you ever respond to Mr. Kempen and tell him that no, you didn't think that Microsoft ought to apply OEM pressure to IBM?
I don't understand your question.
Do you understand that Mr. Kempen is here proposing to you that Microsoft apply OEM pressure to IBM?
It doesn't say OEM pressure.
I didn't say it said it, sir. It says that he's proposing that the OEM relationship should be used to apply some pressure on IBM, correct, sir?
You're asking me to read it?
I'm asking you if that's what you understand him to be saying.
What?
That he's proposing that the OEM relationship should be used by Microsoft to apply some pressure on IBM.
No, I don't think he's proposing anything.
You don't think he's proposing anything? When he says that he strongly believes that there needs to be, quote, a WW hit team to attack IBM as a large account, whereby the OEM relationship should be used to apply some pressure, you don't think that he is suggesting that Microsoft apply pressure on IBM?
I don't think he's making a proposal. It is one of the things he mentions, but it's not a proposal.
Now, Mr. Kempen's message was a response to a message from you to Mr. Kempen and Mr. Ballmer, dated March 20, 1994, at 11:29 p.m., correct?
It appears to be, yes.
And you write him in the first paragraph, quote, "This is one topic I really want to try to get to the bottom of. Why does IBM help Lotus so much? Is there anything we can do about this? Should it become an issue in our global relationship with IBM?" Close quote. Did you send this message to Mr. Kempen and Mr. Ballmer in March 1994?
It appears I did. I mean, that's part of the message I sent. It appears.
When Mr. Kempen replied, saying, we need a WW hit team to attack IBM as a larger count, whereby the OBM relationship should be used to apply some pressure. Did you understand him to be responding to your questions?
I don't remember receiving his mail.
All right, I have no more questions at this time.